The Whip Wake Up Show, 67 degrees. Good morning, quarter to six. Time for, I don't know, we called it the best 5 minutes of the day, and obviously our friend Jason Kahn's taking at least a break, and we'll see what the future holds, but it doesn't feel like the best 5 minutes of the day anymore, because the best 5 minutes of the day was two brothers from another mother who were just, you know, friends. It was a consecrated conversation, and I can't have that by myself. I mean, you can do radio by yourself, and yeah, that's part of the deal a lot of times. And so for 5.5 years, we had kind of that friendship, camaraderie, and good insights. And, you know, I can't play a neuropsychologist even on radio. And so, yeah. So I don't know. I still have to figure out a different title, I guess. But, you know, certainly the room is here. The chair is warm for him to step back at some point. But we'll see. All right. June 30th, 1934. Yeah, that, Forks, is Adolf Hitler. Nazi Germany's dictator Adolf Hitler began his so-called blood purge of all political and military rivals, known as the Night of the Long Knives. Yeah, it began on this day 91 years ago. June 30th, 1936. Gone with the Wind, a Civil War era novel by Margaret Mitchell that became a classic movie, was published. And June 30th, 1917. Yeah, let's take two on that one. June 30th, 1917.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Singer and actress Lena Horne, best known for her song Stormy Weather, was born on this day in Brooklyn, New York. We'll bring that one back in the birthdays here on WWIB. In the meantime, how was your weekend? I guess we kind of do weekend recap around here around 7:20, so I don't reveal all my cards, but traveled some to Marshfield on Saturday. My wife was away over the weekend with our daughter Grace and Madison, and that's kind of nice. Grace and her friend and their dogs heading up here for the 4th of July weekend. So it's a holiday week, and this is one where if you're a smart planner, you're going to work as little as possible this week, right? It's a good week to have a holiday. A lot of us going to have off on Friday. Although Dawson and I planned to hang out together and do the morning show that day here today as well. He's Dawson's in for Caleb this morning. Caleb, of course, as I bill him, the hardest working man in radio and a much-deserved day off enjoying that time with family. So get some rest and relaxation and make some fun family memories there, Caleb. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Today, we're going to turn to, for a devotion, we're going to turn to Jason Kahn's Notes from the Upper Room. And we got kind of bumbled here a little bit. I had done, on June 24th, I had done John 13:8. And then on the 25th, I guess, I did, somehow, I think it had been mistaken. When I did that John 13:8, I guess, I wrote 13:9. Anyhow, bottom line is we never did 13:9. We ended up doing 13:10. So here we go. John 13:9. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jason writes, "Peter had an aha moment as he began to understand what Jesus was saying about the necessity of being washed. He asked to go in for the full treatment so that every part of him was touched by the Lord's grace." He says, "I can understand Peter's response during the moments when I understand at a heart level the grace that Jesus offers. I cannot get enough of it. I remember sitting in church several years ago when the pastor shared Romans 5:20-21, which says, 'Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.'" Jason writes, "I began to weep. Was God's grace really bigger than all of my sin? Did it keep growing larger so that I never used it up? I couldn't hear about grace often enough. I still can't." Love that. Beautiful devotion. And our closing prayer: "Jesus, thank you for your persistent love and unrelenting grace, which is more powerful than any sin or brokenness I might have. Help me live in the reality of that grace moment by moment." Hey, we're going to still call this best 5 minutes of the day because we get Jason with us at least by his devotion. And I use his devotion on days I don't use Robert Morgan's on this day. All right, the Whip Wake Up Show. He's back from China with his wife and children. Drew Fralick, our stand-up comic pastor friend in outside of Detroit, where some are saying the Tigers the best team in baseball. So there you go, Drew. Welcome back.
It's a wonderful situation to come back to.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. You were telling me you were having some problems with your phone. We were able to reach you 1 week before you went on stage a couple weeks ago, not last week. So when you have a problem in China, do you call it a first world or a third world problem?
Good question.
I never considered that.
I think people know this basically like the great firewall of China. That's like a thing.
Yeah.
Basically, like, there's two internets. There's two phone networks.
Okay.
When you're there, you're behind this wall. It's so hard to kind of communicate with the U.S. And so when you were calling me, like, sometimes the calls didn't even go through.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. Huh. Where's Mark? Is he okay?
So
but
do you...
Here we are.
Were you in, like, discount hotels? Were you camping your way across China? You had friends you stayed with or what?
Yeah, we had the first 2 weeks we were there, we rented like a short stay apartment.
Okay.
And then the last week we were in our friend, he's from Missouri. His wife is from China. We were in their apartment. So nice places. I mean, Shanghai is it's cleaned up a lot since I was there.
Uh-huh.
It's very clean. Everything's like brand new. It's kind of like, it was a teenager, you know, the city was like a teenager when I was there. And now it's sort of entered middle age, I would say. So,
did you grow up loving China, saying I'm going to go there someday, or was it when you got older? When and how did you decide you're even going to go there? Because you lived there 12 years before, right?
Yeah, you know what's so weird? You remember when you were when you're kids, you're like, I'm going to dig a hole in the backyard. I'm going to dig a hole
and go to China. Yeah, right.
Did you ever do that?
Like, yeah, sure.
I remember as a kid, I used to like be like, I'm going to dig a hole all the way to China. My
parents
were like, you'll fall through and you'll end up in China.
Yeah.
And it pretty much happened. So, no, it's a place that, you know, I always wanted to go to. I had no idea I'd spend over a decade there.
Yeah.
And this trip going back, you know, we saw so many old friends. You know, my son is adopted from China.
Yeah.
This was his first trip back since the adoption took place. So it's just such a great trip. Both the kids really connected with the culture. By the end of the trip, they were both speaking Chinese.
Wow.
And my daughter was a huge hit. They don't really see a lot of, like, little white kids there, you know?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
She's three. And people were just freaking out on the street. She was like a celebrity there.
Huh.
They're just like, wow, look at her. She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's so cute. So really great trip, yeah.
So you'd recommend a trip to China for the rest of us?
It's a little bit, you know, it's a pain to get over there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't speak any of the language or don't have a tour guide, it's tough to navigate. But
how many comedy
it's a good
sets?
Time to go.
How many comedy sets did you do?
I did four shows.
Four shows.
So got in some good time, headlined in Hong Kong, and
then
did three shows in Shanghai.
There you go. So, your next comedy album should be called Headlining in Hong Kong. So.
That's good.
Thank you, Drew. Love you, man. Appreciate it. DrewFralick.com. They're going to be moving, too, off to Denver. A busy summer for the Fralick family.
Good morning and happy Make Us Laugh Monday, everyone. I just have a couple of jokes here. Hopefully it brings a smile to everyone's face. First off, what's the difference between a poorly dressed man on a tricycle and a well-dressed man on a bicycle? A tire. What did the alien say to the garden? Take me to your weeder. Have a great day in the Lord. God bless.
Sherry is consistent with her couple of jokes here on a Monday, on a Make Us Laugh Monday. Thank you, Sherry. Appreciate it. All right, weekend recap. Dawson in for Caleb. Good morning. How are you doing early this morning?
A little more tired, I think,
okay,
than I was last time I came through.
Okay.
I was hanging out with some friends last night.
Yeah,
I had
to
turn in early and try to get to sleep, which is not always my strong suit.
Yeah.
I'm here nonetheless, and I'm happy to be here to, you know, host the morning show alongside you.
Night Owl finds it challenging to fly in the morning.
I suppose so.
Put it that way. All right, well, Friday night, grilling at your place. Your mom, my wife, Peggy, headed off to Madison to be with my daughter, your sister, Grace, on for the weekend. Actually, she's coming back this morning.
Mm-hmm.
The air out in her car, and so she's like, you know what? I'm going to drive when it's a little cooler. So anyhow.
That was really nice. Had you over, grilled up some of those marinated
Marinated chicken breasts.
Breasts, those were delicious.
You were enjoying them, I can tell.
I sent it down the hatch pretty quick.
You got your share.
I
and then also, we could almost blend this, but for me, Saturday, going with Brian Wilcombe from Jesus Fit to Marshfield, and a denomination had wanted to, you know, what they call fresh expressions of church. And so Brian has five of them. You've been to some of them. And one of them is there's Trail Church and Pizza Church. Yeah. So we went to a beautiful Wildwood Park in Marshfield. There's a group of about 20 who turned out. And I'll tell you what, I mean, that is quite a park. They have, I did not know Marshfield. Wow, that is a fantastic free zoo they have. I saw a red fox and a wolf, and they had Kodiak bears who were sleeping. And so had a good time there, and then Pizza Church followed at Scotty's. I brought you even some leftover pizza.
Sounds good to me.
So, and then church yesterday, and we also had... the Robertsons were there. Sarah shared the message, outstanding. They're missionaries to the Czech Republic, back for a short stay with their three kids. So, yeah, had a good Sunday. How about your weekend?
Yeah, I was it Saturday that you came over? And we
Friday night.
Wow.
Saturday,
cool, I think. Me. We were doing the weekend recap. I got to think.
The horse activity on Saturday.
Gotcha.
You.
Right. So Evelyn has been doing more work with horses, something that she's been passionate about since she was very, very young. And... to see her finally get the opportunity to interact with these creatures I know she cares about so much has been really, really cool. So I've gotten to go out with her a few times to go visit the horses she's been doing work with at the moment. She's doing work, I think, to become an equine
therapist, right?
Yeah, therapist.
And you're more. I think you went to like the Leva Strum area somewhere in terms of the horses on Saturday, right? So. At Megan's place.
Oh,
yeah,
is that
right.
The area? I was going to say, I don't know the name of the area we went to. It was just, all right. You know, it was a nice facility. This
heading south
barn.
Of town. Okay. Yeah.
heading south of town, yeah. So Evelyn and a couple other people who are doing similar work, I believe,
right.
Put together this event for people who aren't as familiar with horses to become more so. So we came in, we sort of groomed them, brushed them with the different brushes they have, picked the dirt out from... the hooves and what have you, and then we got a chance to ride them. Just got a chance to spend.
So you did some riding, actually?
A little bit, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I don't know, got some time to spend with these creatures that, I don't know, I feel like visually we're very familiar with, but
yeah.
I think, you know, spending time with any animal that's bigger than a dog, I think, is at least atypical for me.
Sure.
And I think it just really struck me, spending an extended amount of time with a horse, and I think I see the value in the company they provide.
Yeah,
one of the things, yeah.
Yeah, well, equine therapy, fascinating and continue to expand in terms of its impact in people's lives.
Definitely not something I have a ton of experience with, but sort of broadening my horizons there and getting into something that I know Evelyn's very passionate about was cool, and I appreciated that.
Fantastic. That's our weekend recap. Thanks for letting us share here. WWIB, the WIB Wake Up Show, weather bottom of the hour. All right, well, Dawson, did you know that we're closer to the sun than ever before?
That's what I've heard. Probes sent to gather data about the sun have been journeying closer than ever. The Parker Solar Probe, launched in 2018, set a record by venturing to 3.8 million miles from the sun last week.
Yeah, now I always remember the fact that we're 93 million miles from the sun. It's the closest star. That's about what I know about
the sun. Definitely didn't know that off the top of my head.
Yeah, I do. The Parker Solar Probe was sent to study the sun's outer atmosphere, known as the corona, by flying closer to the sun than any previous spacecraft.
It's protected by a specialized carbon composite heat shield that allows it to withstand temperatures of nearly 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit and intense solar radiation, too.
I'm just trying to fathom how 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit, so... Okay, that's just incomprehensible,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, fully outside of my frame of reference.
The probe travels at speeds up to 430,000 miles per hour, making it the fastest human-made object ever built. Wow.
That's so cool. When the Parker Solar Probe runs out of fuel, it's no longer going to be able to maintain its orientation to keep its heat shield facing the sun. At that point, the probe will lose attitude control, exposing its instruments directly to the sun's intense heat.
Most of the spacecraft will be incinerated, but its carbon composite heat shield's expected to survive and continue orbiting the sun for millions, possibly even billions. It's going to outlive us.
That's
by a long
crazy.
Shot.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Huh.
Even just thinking of something that's going to last that long is crazy, but in orbit of the sun at that distance. Huh.
That's one of those crazy science stories, right?
Yeah, no kidding. I'm curious what the hottest temperature on Earth has ever been recorded at. Looks like Okay. In Death Valley, they got up to 134 degrees. But
that's
curious.
A far cry of 2,500.
No kidding. Wow.
That's incomprehensible.
Yeah, crazy what we're able to accomplish there, and I wonder what we're going to be able to learn with that probe making its way there.
You got a song that can cool us off?
Let me see.
Oh, my.
I'll see what we can find here to cool us off.
I was initially thinking
morning.
Of a song with sun in the title, but wow,
maybe,
starting to sweat. Well, a couple of big movie anniversaries coming up, huh?
Yes. Got notes on one in particular, but we'll start with Apollo 13 turning 30 years old today. Opening in theaters, the film starred Tom Hanks, Kevin Bacon, Bill Paxton.
Gary Sinise and Ed Harris was nominated for 9 Academy Awards, including Best Picture and one for Best Film Editing and Best Sound.
It was also the Screen Actors Guild Award for Outstanding Performance by Cast in a Motion Picture.
Director Ron Howard, you knew him as Opie on The Andy Griffith Show and later Richie Cunningham on Happy Days. They worked closely with NASA to ensure technical accuracy, including training the cast with astronauts and filming weightless scenes aboard a reduced gravity aircraft.
In 2023, Apollo 13 was selected for preservation in the United States National Film Registry by the Library of Congress for being culturally, historically, and aesthetically significant.
I don't think I've told you this before, but, you know, before my family moved to Wauwatosa, right before I turned 8 in 1972, we lived in Milwaukee, 68th and Carmen. And next door, I don't remember the name of the neighbors. I was going to try to call my mom before this segment. But our neighbors, they were on the McCanns, I believe. Mm-hmm. And they were in the fire department, and they were, like, related to Jim Lovell, one of the astronauts. And I think as a kid, I believe, I have to get my mom to verify this. I think I got to meet him. I think he gave me this like cool astronaut book I no longer have. So, yeah.
That was really cool.
And he's the featured astronaut in that movie.
Huh. Well, it's
so I almost went to the moon is what I'm telling you.
Yeah, you were
I mean, it was
close.
That close.
Like, right. 1 degree of separation. Well, it's not just the anniversary of Apollo 13, another big anniversary, and that's where our instrumental here is coming from. Back to the Future turning 40 years old.
Yeah, on Thursday.
Yes.
It would become the highest grossing film of that year, earning over $381 million worldwide.
Initially, Eric Stoltz was cast as Marty McFly, but after several weeks of filming, Michael J. Fox was brought in to replace him, leading to a significant reshoot of already filmed scenes.
Now, Michael had really captured our attention with Family Ties in the early 80s. But this one really
put him on the map.
Internationally, right?
Absolutely.
The original screenplay was rejected. This is really interesting. The original screenplay was rejected by numerous studios before Universal Pictures took a chance on the project. Do you think they're glad they did?
Yeah. Well, okay. I think this is an interesting place to insert this sort of fun fact I think I found.
What?
That I am astonished by. Okay, so it's unimaginable now, but the movie was almost called something else entirely.
Huh.
Sid Schindberg didn't like the title Back to the Future. He sent a memo to Zemeckis and Gale, Robert Zemeckis and
Steven Spielberg.
Bob Gale.
Yeah.
Outlining his reasons on why he wants to change the title to A Spaceman from Pluto. We have that memo now, and it is ridiculous.
Wow.
I would like to read it on the air because I think I want to share with the listeners just how crazy it is.
Yeah.
So we can just sort of start off here.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Sid Schindberg wrote, "Although I believe that the present draft is terrific and I marvel at the improvements that have been made from the Columbia version, I continue to believe the title leaves much to be desired.
There are a number of reasons why I found the title less than wonderful, but my primary concern is that it appears to make the picture a genre picture. I think the script and hopefully the film deserves a better title."
Now that I've buttered you up, I would like to suggest we consider the title Spaceman from Pluto.
Wow. Underpinning these suggestions are the following thoughts. Number one.
Yeah. Modify the dialogue on page 35 so that Sherman calls Marty a spaceman from Pluto.
2. Modify Marty's dialogue on page 77 so he identifies himself as a spaceman from the planet Pluto instead of Darth Vader from Vulcan.
Change the title of the book written by George and referred to on page 130 from A Match Made in Space to Spaceman from Pluto.
He goes on to say, obviously you get the idea. I'm sure there'll be those who will argue that the movie will appear to the audience to be a cheap, old-fashioned sci-fi flick.
I think it's just the kind of title that has heat, originality, and projects fun.
Most importantly, I think it avoids the feeling of a genre time travel movie. Dear sir, we're going to stick with Back to the Future, and I think 40 years from now, people will be glad we did.
No kidding. Steven Spielberg reached out, replying, Sid, thank you for your most humorous memo. We got a big kick out of it. Thanks.
Wow.
And, yeah, can't blame him for not going with that one. I am blown away. But I feel like Hollywood executives are framed as sort of being ignorant to what people would want, but that is just crazy to me, the lack of being in touch there. And I can't imagine it being called anything else, much less Spaceman from Pluto. The film's success led to two sequels, an animated series, video games, theme park rides, and even a stage musical.
There you go. In 2007, the U.S. Library of Congress selected Back to the Future for preservation in the National Film Registry, recognizing its cultural, historical, and aesthetic significance. So, happy anniversary to both of those movies.
Looking back on a couple classics as we make our way through a Monday morning.